This is Sports Jam. I'm Doug Doyle, Super Bowl edition 2026, and my guest today certainly knows what it's like to play in the Super Bowl and win it. Mark Sklareth was selected in the 10th round of the 1989 NFL draft by the Washington Redskins and played guard for 12 seasons, during which he was a two-time Pro Bowl selection and a three-time Super Bowl champion, one with the Redskins and the other two with the Denver Broncos. And after a long run as an NFL analyst with ESPN, Mark Sklareth is currently with Fox Sports as a Fox NFL game analyst and FS1 studio analyst. He also has his own sports show in Denver. Mark, it's great to have you on Sports Jam.
Oh, it's great to be here. I appreciate it.
Before we talk about Super Bowl 60 matchup between the Seattle Seahawks and the New England Patriots, let's go back to your days in the big game. What are some of the moments that you treasure?
You know, I loved the work before the game, right? Putting in the work, coming up with the game plans, executing the practices, and just being with the guys. You know, you're so sequestered, and this is going to sound selfish, but I told my wife and kids, listen, man, I'll spend a couple days with you, but when Thursday hits, I don't want to see you guys, because it's all about the business of winning a championship. And like, we had such a singularly focused group of players that were all about the game, both in Washington and in Denver. And I tell you what, I mean, it was special. It was fun. And especially, you know, I think so many fond memories of all those teams. But that game, Super Bowl 32 against the Green Bay Packers, where you kick off the game and you're 11.5 point underdogs, and you come out with a victory in that game. It's one of the reasons I love the NFL. It's not the best of seven. It's one game. Anybody can win it. And it's the team that comes most prepared, the team that relaxes and just plays a game like it was any other game, which is easy to say, hard to do.
This then will become the highest moment, the completion of a great career, a Super Bowl championship for John Elway and the Denver Broncos.
It was also your 32nd birthday, was it not?
It was my 32nd birthday. And by the way, I'm the only player in the history to win the Super Bowl on his birthday, where his age corresponded with the Super Bowl number. So it was 32 on my 32nd birthday, Super Bowl 32 on my 32nd birthday. Once you hit that kind of golden double down, the golden birthday, if you will, you just quit celebrating them because it's over after that.
I think this year's matchup is going to be a little bit different than what you went through with John Elway as your quarterback with the Broncos. Was it just a question of mindset for the offensive line and you specifically, just do my job, just protect John, and he's going to lead us to a championship?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, you look at the first Super Bowl 32, it was Terrell Davis who was the MVP, and we really ran the ball well. And, and that was, we were told before the game from Mike Shanahan, you know, he actually went to John and said, hey, listen, man, we're going to win this game. For us to win this game, you're probably not going to win the MVP. It's got to be the run game that gets us there.
First and goal from the 18. Davis. Obscured by all the camera folks down on the goal line. Second and goal at the one.
I just think it was really cool. It just points to the unselfishness of John Elway, the unselfishness of our football team. What do we have to do to win a championship? And everybody was on board with that. So really cool to be a part of that. Of course, he won the MVP next year in Super Bowl 33, but really cool to play with some unbelievable legends like Terrell Davis, like John Elway, Shannon Sharp, and a host of other guys that were just phenomenal. Gary Zimmerman and the like.
Such great teams, indeed. I know that you have said the Seahawks right now are playing better football than the Patriots. What would your game plan be for New England to pull off what most would consider maybe an upset?
Yeah, you know, I mean, ultimately, New England's defense is what led them here over the course of the playoffs. Offensively, they weren't putting up a lot of points, and they've given up a lot of sacks. And, you know, when Drake May actually turned the ball over six times, he fumbled six times and lost three of them in the first two playoff games. So they cleaned that up in the AFC Championship. But you know, for the Patriots, it's really about running the football. It's really about taking the pressure of that Seahawks defensive front off of their quarterback. And I think ultimately the other thing is Drake May has done an unbelievable job of converting some critical third downs with his feet. And, you know, you go back to the AFC Championship, they have a critical third down and six, I believe it was. And he and Josh McDaniels called a quarterback boot. They're the only two guys that knew that the boot was coming. So Drake May executed it perfectly. Nobody else knew on the offense that he was going to do it. They get the 7 yards to convert the first down and salt the game away. Like, that's going to be a big factor for New England if they're going to win this thing.
I know you still have love for the Broncos, a member of the Broncos 50th anniversary team. You were watching that AFC Championship game, and you mentioned the many mistakes that were made in that snow-impacted game. Do you think it had anything to do with the fact that everybody just tried to be a Superman with backup quarterback Jared Stidham replacing Bo Nix?
Yeah, I think offensively, just failure of execution. And I thought the offensive line didn't play well. I thought they didn't do a great job in the run game, to say the least. And so that was, you know, really a disappointing factor. So I don't know if it was, you know, guys trying to do more than their job. Maybe that had something to do with it. There was some mental mistakes that happened along the way that were upsetting as you watched it. But you got to give the New England Patriots a bunch of credit. You know, they've got an outstanding defense. I love their front seven. You may not know the names, but guys like Milton Williams, Christian Barmore, you got Spillane, who played for as a middle linebacker, who played for Vrabel with the Tennessee Titans, has been unbelievably impactful. They've got a really good defense, and they're a really good football team. So, you know, you got to tip your cap to them for what they've been able to accomplish as well. And they created a lot of that. The biggest thing for me was that fourth down field goal where they bypassed the field goal, you know, on fourth down and one at the 14-yard line to try to go for it. And at that point, they had 127 yards of offense, Broncos did, compared to 12 yards on 12 plays by the New England Patriots. To me, you kick that field goal, you go up 10 points. And at that point in that game, with the weather coming in, and we all knew the weather was coming in, that might be an insurmountable lead. But they chose not to. They chose to go for it. They got stuffed, and the rest is history.
Yeah, and if Jared Stidham doesn't throw that backwards pass, they might have never scored in that first half. So the Eagles dominated last year's Super Bowl against the Chiefs, and their offensive line was simply tremendous. Does this game on February 8th come down to the work in the trenches, knowing that both quarterbacks, Sam Darnold and Drake May, have never been in this situation before?
Yeah, to me, every football game essentially comes down to the trenches. If you protect well, you run the ball well, you create balance, those things are always going to, like, always going to be what sets you apart to me and give quarterbacks and running backs and receivers opportunity to catch the ball. You know, it always fascinates me the level of importance we put on wide receivers and some of the other players. You know, if the guys up front don't do their job, you don't get to sniff a football, right? The quarterback can't throw it from his back. So, like, that part is always a big part to me. The team that wins both lines of scrimmage in any game is usually going to win that game at a very high rate. So that's really what it boils down to. And when I look at it, I think the defensive lines and front sevens are kind of a wash, Seattle and New England. I think what really sets it apart is I think the Seattle Seahawks have a much better offensive line at this juncture than do the New England Patriots.
Three-time Super Bowl champion Mark Sklareth is joining us here on Sports Jam. And Mark, I know you have some advice about the ultimate tailgate.
And I've got some big game tips for you. I'm going to roll through these things because if you're going to have big fun, you got to have big TV. So I'll start with LG OLED Evo TVs, the world's number one TV for the last 13 years because OLED TVs deliver perfect blacks, vivid colors, ultra smooth action, zero blur with immersive sound. You can bring every snap, every replay, every TD right into your living room, 55 inches to 97 inches. That's LG.com for more information. Then everybody loves wings. Purdue's air fryer ready crisp wings, restaurant quality at home in 18 minutes or less. Perfect for your party, from the freezer to the air fryer to the plate. It's that simple. Great flavors like roasted, hot, spicy, lemon pepper, crispy on the outside, always juicy on the inside. Chicken raised with zero antibiotics, delicious, high-quality wings. Purdue.com for more information. And then, hey, level up your beverages. Beer and soda is great, but how about wine instead this year? That's why I partnered with BodoBox, premium, traditionally made wines. Hey, just in a better package, from their 3-liter box to the Bodo Minis on ice. You're never going to need a corkscrew. Just open and pour. Try the BodoBox Bright Side, a refreshing white blend, which pairs perfectly with all those salty snacks on your game day. BodoBox.com for more information.
And there you go. You have your perfect tailgate, whether it's outside or at home, to watch Super Bowl 60. Mark, it is great to have you on the show. A charter member of the University of Idaho Athletics Hall of Fame, inducted in 2008. What does an honor like that mean to you?
Well, Idaho, like, Idaho is one place that gave me an opportunity to continue my high school career and give me a chance to play college football. And, you know, I was injured a lot and switched a lot of positions and played 3-4 years of defense and flipped back over to the offensive side of the ball, which ultimately at the time was kind of hard, but ultimately it helped me become a much better NFL player from a neck up standpoint, understanding what defenses were trying to do to you, having played defense for all those years. So that was helpful. But my best friends in the world all played college football with me at the University of Idaho. I owe them a debt of gratitude. Absolutely love the university. And they have just been so instrumental in my development as a football player, but just as a person as well. So owe them a debt of gratitude. Go Vandals. Love you guys.
One of your three children, Daniel, played in the major leagues. Baseball pitcher. He played for the Diamondbacks and the Tigers and a pitching coach for the South Florida Bulls. How did that happen? He didn't play. You had a professional in the family who played a different sport.
He was a football player as well. He's this exceptional athlete. But I did sit down with him, when he was in high school and trying to kind of make those decisions and had opportunities to go play college football. And I just was like, hey, listen, you're a 5'11" QB that throws left-handed. And that's great. But the odds of you making it in the NFL are probably limited. You're a left-handed pitcher that throws in the mid-90s in high school. I think you've got a better chance to make it to the pros as a baseball player than you do as a quarterback. And you know what? And it's one of the few times as a parent that your kids actually listen to you, which always makes you kind of shocked, right? So, but that's where he was. He was just such a blessed thrower that I just thought that was the best chance. If you aspire to play a professional sport, that's probably the best opportunity to do that.
That's good advice. As you can see here in the video, I'm from the Pittsburgh area, so all of the jerseys you see here have won 4 Super Bowls. You've won 3. But when I think about how you approach all of this, you have spent time analyzing and playing in the big game. One of the things I love about your analytics of games is you tell the truth. You tell it the way it is.
Yeah. It is one of those things that I've always been passionate about, and I've earned the right, not only played at a high level for a long time, but I put in the work. As soon as the 2 AFC and NFC championship games were over, I went through the coaches' tape, both offensively and defensively, every play, kind of analyzing what they're in, what kind of formations they're using, and all the different things they're doing. So, it's one of the things I put a lot of work into. So I always feel like, hey, man, I've earned the right to talk about it and to give it to you straight. And it's one of the things that I've really worked on this last year is my podcast, the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. You can find it anywhere you find podcasts, also on YouTube. And, it's an NFL podcast that's just really dedicated to nothing but the NFL, breaking down the game and having a lot of fun doing it and telling a few stupid stories as well. So it's been a lot of fun doing that.
Last question for you in a Pittsburgh connection. You worked for several years with the great Dick Stockton, who was at KDK in Pittsburgh for years. What was it like working with Dick? He's certainly a legend.
Love him. He is a dear, dear friend. An unbelievable Hall of Fame broadcaster, and he always spoke very fondly of his Pittsburgh connection. And My Pittsburgh connection is strong as well, because I was a huge Steeler fan as a kid growing up in Alaska. As they were winning championships, that's the team that was always on in the morning game. And as a matter of fact, my dad took me to Seattle to watch the Pittsburgh Steelers versus the Seattle Seahawks when I was a kid. And it was one of the great moments. I sat in the lobby and got autographs from, you know, LC Greenwood and Joe Green and Jack Hamm and Jack Lambert. And my favorite player was Mike Webster, and like on and on and on it goes. And so I got to meet them all, Terry Bradshaw. I still get giddy when I see those guys, and I know them. They're friends now. But like I hang out with Terry Bradshaw, and I'm still like, I cannot believe I'm hanging out with Terry Bradshaw. So a huge impact in my life, one of the big reasons that I wanted to be a professional football player.
Thanks for joining us on Sports Jam, Mark.
Listen, man, I appreciate you. You can check all this stuff out, lg.com, purdue.com, photobox.com. Thank you for taking a few minutes with me.
Sports Jam is a WBGO News production. You can check out all the past shows by going to wbgo.org/sportsjam or wbgo.org/studios. You can also find Sports Jam with Doug Doyle on the NPR list of podcasts or wherever you hear podcasts. Sports Jam has just been selected as the best podcast in New Jersey by the New Jersey Society of Professional Journalists. Until our next Sports Jam session, I'll see you at the game.